We've come a long way in the book of Revelation. We've learned about the seven churches, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the seven angels, the throne room of heaven, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls, the dragon, the beast, the woman, the lamb, Babylon the Great, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and so much more. But that's a little bit of what we've learned. Here we are at the end, the final chapter, Revelation 22. Today in Revelation 22, we're going to conclude by realizing the blessings of God in Jesus. Now, before we get into this chapter, I want to go to God in prayer and ask him to speak to us. As we look in the book of Revelation, it's all about God speaking to his church. That's what the book of Revelation does. Well, let's ask him to speak to us now by prayer as through the power of his Holy Spirit in our midst. So join me now in prayer. God, we're speaking to you now in prayer, asking that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, illuminating the truth of your word, the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, so that we may know more about the blessings of Jesus our Lord, promised to us throughout not only the book of Revelation, but all throughout the Bible. God, we also pray with the knowledge that someone in this room, likely there are some people in this room who do not know Jesus as their Lord. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, they will see how much they need Jesus, that they need to turn from their sin and turn to the life-giving faith that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. But what I'd like to do is kind of walk through this passage a little bit. I do things differently from time to time. This is one of those times. You'll see in your bulletin there are 5 points, but I'm not going to get to those for a minute. So I want to read the Word of God and kind of walk through this passage. And then after that, focus on 5 blessings that are realized in the book of Revelation chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles, keep them open. We're going to read the whole chapter here. If you don't have a Bible, we have some available for you in the back of the pews, or if you're upstairs, they're along the wall there. You'll see these black Bibles. If you don't have one at all, take one of those home with you. If you do have one, just put it back when you're done. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. It's just my preferred translation. You can go ahead in any Bible translation, but let's pick it up in chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, your brothers, and the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he said to me, 'Don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. Let the holy still be holy. Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his works. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life freely. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the books of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are written about in this book. He who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Amen. It's a wonderful chapter, is it not? Well, let's kind of walk through this as we conclude our time in the book of Revelation. As a reminder, we do have Digging Deeper on Wednesday nights, and we will have Digging Deeper this Wednesday night. Also, a little public service announcement. This coming Wednesday night will be our last regular Wednesday night for the year. The next week after that will be our Christmas Eve service, and the next week after that, the doors will be locked and the lights will be turned off here. That'll be New Year's Eve that night. So anyhow, well, let's get back to the book of Revelation. Let's discover a few treasures from this passage, and then we'll dive into the five blessings. So these are just things you can write down anywhere in your bulletin if you'd like to. But first we see here that John says, then he showed me. Well, the he here, we know from earlier in Revelation, is one of the seven angels. We don't know which one, but one of the seven angels who had shown John different aspects of the vision of the future holy city of the new heaven and the new earth. And this angel is continuing in chapter 22. As a reminder, when the Bible was originally written, there were no chapter and verse numbers. Those were just given to us to help us find our way through there. And so this is one continual vision here. And so that's the he. The he is one of those angels. And then we hear this beautiful description of the city. We've already heard in chapter 21 of some of these beautiful descriptions. But we hear about a river. We hear more about the street, which we've already discovered. And then we hear about the tree of life. More on those in just a moment. Notice this also. The reminder that God's dwelling will be with his people. Verse 3 says, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. This is a reminder of what we've already heard, right? That the throne of God is no longer far away in heaven. It is on the new earth with his people, and he will be worshiped by his people. Verse 4 mentions that God's name will be on the foreheads of his servants. Now, we've heard something about names or marks on foreheads in the book of Revelation. We've heard already about some of God's servants having his mark on their foreheads. And then, of course, we've also heard about those who do not worship Jesus, the Lamb of God, who have the mark of the beast on their foreheads. And so we've already been introduced to this idea that this mark or name on someone's forehead signifies allegiance to the one whose name is on the head or whose mark is on the head. So those who bear the name of God on their heads belong to God. They are loyal to God. And that's what we see here in the holy city, in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, that these people have God's name on their heads. They are God's people. He is their God. This is a repeated theme throughout Revelation 21 and 22. Verse 5 reminds us that the Lord God will provide light for the new earth. We talked about that last week in the book of Revelation chapter 21. We see that God's people will be with him and they will reign with him. I can't wait to figure out what all that means to reign with Jesus in heaven. That's pretty cool. We're not just sitting there on clouds playing harps, people. We're reigning as a royal people with the Lord God. I'm looking forward to that. Verse 6, I don't know about you, this is a little side note. When I was a kid and people compared heaven to sitting in the clouds playing harps, I was like, I'm not sure I want to go there. That sounds terrible, okay? But that's not at all what we're told heaven will be like. Heaven will be wonderful. Every man, child, boy, and girl will love being in heaven. By the way, I don't know that there'll be children in heaven. That's a whole nother topic. I'm off point now. Those who are children, I think, will have their glorified, renewed bodies in some form. What is the perfect age? I know it's not 43. It's not 43, okay? I know that. It may be closer to 23. I don't know. But whatever that is, maybe there'll be no such thing as age. It will be glorious in the new heaven and new earth. Verse 6 emphasizes the value of the actual words of the book of Revelation. The revelation itself, the prophecy itself, the vision itself, it mentions the value of that. This is where we need to pay attention because it says something special. We must realize the absolute blessing of God that he gave us the book of Revelation. It is a glorious and generous blessing from him to his people. God has spoken to his people what he wants them to know regarding this vision, regarding this revelation, that which he has revealed. By the way, he has also not spoken what he doesn't want us to know. You ever think about that? God told us what he wants us to know in Revelation, and he hasn't told us what he doesn't want us to know. And we should be okay with that. We should be okay with the fact that God has not told us everything about how every little thing will happen. And then in verses 8 and 9, John was so moved by all this, right? He's at the end of this vision that has been given to him. He's so moved by it that he falls down to worship at the feet of the angel who delivered it to him. I think John was just overcome with how wonderful this is. But what does the angel do? He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't worship me. I'm like one of y'all. I'm worshiping along with you, the one who deserves worship, God. God is the one worthy of worship, right? And so John, and I have to think John was like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Sorry. You know, like, worship God only. The Bible tells us that repeatedly. And this is what happens in verses 8 and 9. Then we see in verse 10, remember, we're just kind of walking through this right now, but we see in verse 10 that the angel says to John not to seal up the words of the book of Revelation. You know, sometimes we have these prophecies revealed and it's kind of like, now keep this to yourself until an appointed time or for an appointed reason. But the angel tells John, don't seal this up. Tell people about it. This is for the churches. A revelation is not to remain a mystery. It is to be shared so that everyone can know what is soon coming to this world. What is soon coming for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants his people to know. He wants them to study it. He wants them to read it. He wants them to hear it. And that's what we see in verse 10. Now, verse 11, it's a little tricky when you read it. It says, let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. And let the holy still be holy. There's a couple different ideas of what scholars think that this means. But I think what this likely means is that from the time the angel delivered this message to John, which was quite some time ago now, nearly 2,000 years ago, not quite, but nearly, from that time forward, some would continue to be unrighteous. Some would continue to be filthy. Some would continue to be righteous, and some would continue to be holy. I think what the angel is saying to John is, the time has not yet come for all of these things which you've heard about to be fulfilled. That time is coming, but it has not come yet. So let sin continue and let righteousness continue until the appointed time, and then everything will be dealt with, and all the events which we read about, particularly towards the end of Revelation, will begin to happen as the angel told John they would happen. I think that's what that probably means there. I don't think the angel is saying, hey, don't worry about those who are sinning. That's no big deal. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think he's saying sin will continue to happen. Some will continue to follow God. Some will continue to sin. But at the appointed time, everything will take place. I'll skip down to verse 16. It says here, Jesus is referred to as the root and descendant of David, and also the bright morning star. These are two references which we've already dealt with in the book of Revelation earlier in our study. And the root and descendant of David is a reminder that Jesus is the promised fulfillment from the line of King David, the same David who killed Goliath, the same David who was the youngest of Jesse's sons and who was appointed and anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king of Israel and was the king whom God chose after his own heart. That David, his descendant, who was promised to be the Messiah or the Christ, as we'll talk about next week in a special Christmas message, that is Jesus. Jesus is the one who fulfilled that prophecy. And all the way here at the end of the Bible, in the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus is reminding us, I am the root of David. And he also says the bright morning star. He is the purity, the pure light, the holy brilliance, the glorious, radiant glory of God is all found in Jesus. And we hear about that earlier. In fact, earlier in the book of Revelation, it says, I will give, speaking to the church, speaking to God's people, it says, I will give you the morning star. Well, who's the morning star? Jesus. Jesus will be our gift. He will be given to us. That's in verse 16. And then in verses 18 and 19, we're continuing to walk through this. We hear a warning. We hear a warning. One that is, I think, familiar to many people. A lot of people remember this verse, these two verses. But it says here that no one is to add or take away anything from the words or prophecies of the book of Revelation. I want to just point something out here. A lot of people say when they hear these verses, they say that applies to the whole Bible. And I want you to know, just hear me carefully. This is talking about the book of Revelation specifically. But that principle is good for the whole Bible. But I just want us to be good interpreters. It's not saying the whole Bible here. It's saying the book of Revelation. But that's a good principle for the whole Bible. We should not add to the Bible. We should not take away from the Bible. But specifically here, the angel is saying to John and John saying to us, don't take away anything from this prophecy, from this vision, from this revelation. I think we need to pay attention here. We are not to add or take away. We must remember, church, that God has included this prophecy in this prophecy, what he wanted to include in this prophecy. And he has left out what he wanted to leave out. We should not take away anything that seems difficult. We dealt with some difficult passages, right? I mean, there's a lot of blood, a lot of judgment, a lot of sinners being eternally condemned and punished. Some difficult things in here. In fact, I won't get too far into it. We will Wednesday night. There's been some stuff in Christian news. It's not really in the news, like on TV, but in Christian news about someone kind of changing what the Bible has to say about hell. We're not supposed to do that. If the Bible says it, we don't want to take away from it. But also, this is very important. This is probably more frequent when it comes to the book of Revelation. We're not to add anything to it that's not there. You will hear people take theories and calculations that they've come up with and algorithms or whatever it might be and impose that upon the book of Revelation when it doesn't actually say those things. Here the angel through John is giving us a very strong warning not to do that. Let me just help you out a little bit. Anytime the Bible says if you do something, your name will be taken from the book of life, don't do that. Don't do that, okay? This is how serious this thing is. Now, it's not to say we'll lose our salvation. What the angel is doing is drawing our attention here to say if we're really followers of Jesus, let Jesus speak what he wants to speak. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. So I wanted to kind of focus on that a little bit because a lot has been said about those verses throughout Christian history. I think that's what it means. Okay, that was a long introduction to the sermon, but these are just a kind of a few tidbits of information. But as I journeyed through this last chapter, I've said this before, sometimes you feel like, I think I've said this already. I don't really know how to say this differently. 22 is very similar to 21. Chapter 22 is very similar to chapter 21. But I think the Lord just revealed to me, this chapter has a lot to say about blessings. Sometimes this outright says, blessed are those who do this. But also there are blessings talked about that don't explicitly say, blessed are those. So I came up with 5 blessings that I think the Lord revealed to me. And I want to just kind of walk through these. First, if you're taking notes, now's the time to fill in your blanks. First, the blessing of coming to the home Jesus prepared. The blessing of coming to the home Jesus prepared. We've already spoken of how wonderful this city is when we looked at Revelation 21. However, the description goes on here, continues in chapter 22. We hear of the river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Look at where it flows from. From the throne of God and of the Lamb. And this river goes down the middle of the city's main street, which we know from chapter 21 is of pure gold, which is transparent. Also, we hear of the tree of life that is on each side of the river. By the way, picture that in your head, a tree that is on 2 sides of a river. Makes me think of a banyan tree. I don't know what kind of tree it is, but it's on both sides of the river. And the tree bears 12 kinds of fruit. Notice that what the tree does. The tree brings healing to the nations. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to the new heaven and new earth for God to heal me of all the things this earth, present earth, has done to me and things I've done to myself, by the way. I can't wait to be healed from all that. And it says that the tree of life, in fact, one of the ways to think of it, because our bodies will already be glorified and perfect and new, one of the ways to think of it rather than just like healing in the way we think of it now is think of it as nourishment. The tree of life will give us nourishment to be all who God made us to be in the new heaven and new earth. This is what the tree of life will do. And we can experience its nourishment and healing freely and abundantly. There's no limit. It's not like you've met your quota for the day, right? You can have as much as you want from the tree of life and the water of life. And these are blessings that await us in our heavenly home that Jesus has prepared for us. As he told his people, I am going to prepare a place for you. He's preparing this for us. There are blessings that come with that. Second, realize that the blessing of receiving the life Jesus purchased. The blessing of receiving the life that Jesus purchased. Okay, help me. If you know this verse, I'll put it on the screen for you here. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we earn through our sin death. We earn eternal death, which is a horrible death, a horrible punishment, a horrible judgment, horrors which the book of Revelation reveals to us. However, Jesus offers us life. What awaits those who are in Jesus is life. Revelation 22 tells us of the river of life that awaits us. It tells us of the tree of life that awaits us. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This life of which the Bible speaks all about that is found in Jesus was purchased by Jesus because he laid down his life. He laid down his life to purchase back our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, for you know that you were redeemed, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. All the money in this world, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Bill Gates could all get together and pool all their money together, which would, I think, be more than everybody else on the planet, and they still could not purchase your life. But Jesus can, and he did, by laying down his life. You were redeemed or bought back or purchased. You were given your life because Jesus gave his life for you. Revelation 22 helps us recognize the blessing of the life that Jesus purchased for us. Third, realize blessing of being washed in the blood Jesus poured out. Blessing of being washed in the blood of, that Jesus poured out. You see, not only were we given life through the death of Jesus, we were given a holy life. We were given a righteous life. We were given a godly life. Why? Because we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, look at verse 14 again. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. We've heard something already in the book of Revelation about washing robes. Chapter 7, verse 14. Says they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, in our sin, we are dirty. We're stained with guilt and shame. Our robes are not white. But in Jesus, when we wash our robes in the blood of Jesus, when he spilled his blood on the cross, he not only gave us life, he gave us a holy life. And we were made righteous. We were clothed. Just imagine putting on the righteousness of Jesus. Putting on the holiness of Jesus. We were made new. It's an absolute miracle, church. Not only that you were rescued from the dead, but that you were made holy. Trust me, it's a miracle that Matt McCraw can be holy. The miracle that Jesus gave me his righteousness. He transferred it to me so that I could be like him because my robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you are in Christ, so have yours. Revelation 22 reminds us that through the work of Jesus, not only can we live a holy life now on this earth, you can live a holy life now. God tells us, be holy as I am holy. And you can do it if you are in Christ. But not only that, but we will walk in holiness and righteousness for all eternity because we've been washed white by the blood of Jesus. No more temptation. No more sin. No more failing on our parts. No more regrets. No more unfaithfulness. Only goodness and holiness for all eternity. That's what awaits those who are in Jesus Christ. That is a blessing. That is the third blessing. Fourth, we realize this. Realize the blessing of drinking the water Jesus provided. Realize the blessing of drinking the water Jesus provided. Look again at verse 17. It says, both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Listen, pay attention. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life freely. Revelation ends with the Spirit of God, and it says the bride, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation ends with the Spirit of God and the church inviting people who are thirsty to come drink the water that Jesus provides. You may recall in the Gospels, Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 14, he says, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never thirst again. In fact, the water I give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. Earlier in Revelation, we read in chapter 7, verse 17, for the Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of the waters of life. We were once thirsty. We were all once thirsty. But we came to Jesus for the waters of life. In Jesus, listen, church, listen. This is something we cannot miss. In Jesus, we can continue to go back to him and drink from the water of life. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time trip. We can continue to go to Jesus and receive living water. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, you have access directly to God himself and to all the blessings Jesus promised you. So are you tired? Drink from the water of life. Are you scared? Drink from the water of life. Are you in guilt? Drink from the water of life. Are you discouraged? Drink from the water of life. Are you confused? Drink from the water of life. Are you lonely? Drink from the water of life. Are you grieving? Drink from the water of life. Are you angry? Drink from the water of life. Are you in need? Drink from the water of life. Are you heartbroken? Drink from the water of life. Fill in the blank. Drink from the water of life. Christians, come to Jesus for living water and keep coming back. His spring never runs dry. There's plenty of it for all of his people. And those who are not followers of Jesus, are you thirsty? Come. Come to Jesus. Come to the water that will satisfy your soul and will heal your broken heart and will take away all your sin and will make you new. Can you hear the call? Come. Come to Jesus. Jesus says, the one who is thirsty can drink freely. The blessing of coming to the water that Jesus provides. Finally, realize the blessing of the return Jesus promised. The blessing of the return Jesus promised. Jesus is coming again. Revelation does not let us in chapter 22 without that reminder over and over again in that simple chapter. In verse 12, Jesus says this. In chapter 22, verse 12, he says, look, I am coming soon. He's saying, pay attention. I am coming soon and my reward is with me. I love that. My reward is with me. In verse 20, John concludes the book with the words of Jesus again. And then some of John's own words. John says, he quotes Jesus when he says, yes, I'm coming soon. And then John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That should be our prayer, church. That should be our prayer. That should be on our lips every moment. Come, Lord Jesus. Man, we look forward to his return. There are blessings that await the return of Jesus. Blessings that we've learned so much about in this beautiful book of the Bible. Blessings for God's people. There's judgment for those who are not in Christ. And they should also listen to that warning when Jesus says, I am coming soon. But for those of us who are in Christ, we should look forward with anticipation and excitement, barely able to contain ourselves, because he's coming back. And he's coming soon, and we should say, come, Lord Jesus. Don't forget about all the blessings in this chapter, including the promise that Jesus is coming soon. And let all that we've learned in this chapter and in the entire book of Revelation be summed up in one bottom line. Here it is today. And the blessings of God find their fulfillment in Jesus. The blessings of God find their fulfillment in Jesus. All of Revelation points to the blessings of God in Jesus. This is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer this. Does anyone remember my bottom line from my first sermon in Revelation? No, you don't. Of course you don't. Here it is. Very first bottom line from Revelation chapter 1. It says this: Revelation is all about pointing the church to Jesus. Well, here we are at the end of Revelation. And let me say to you once again, Revelation is all about pointing the church to Jesus. It's not about crazy theories. It's not about calculations. It's not about confusion and charts and prophecies which we could never figure out. It's about what God has told us in his book to point us to Jesus. That's where we started, and that's where we will end. Revelation is all about Jesus. All of the blessings of God find their fulfillment in him, in who he is, and in what he has done. The Apostle Paul, I've quoted John so much in this sermon. I'm going to give one to the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For every one of God's promise is yes in him. Therefore, through him," that's Jesus, "we also say amen to the glory of God." Listen, church, in Jesus, God says yes to his promises for our good. God says yes to us. And in Jesus, we can say amen to God for his glory. You see, he says yes for our good. We say amen for his glory. Amen means we agree. We give our agreement and satisfaction with what God has told us. That's what, some of y'all don't know what amen means. That's what it means. You're like basically saying, yeah, that's what amen means. I agree with that. I'm with that. In Jesus, God says yes to his promises for our good. And in Jesus, we say amen for God's glory. Challenge yourself this week in this one way. Very familiar phrase to many of you. Count your many blessings. Count your many blessings. You know, there's a scripture that says that we often quote at funerals, which is good that we do this and it's correct. And I want us to pay attention to this. It says, we are not those who grieve as those who have no hope. Some of you have heard that before. And that's good and right and true, and I believe that. By the way, just a little side note, this is for free. It doesn't say we don't grieve. It's okay to grieve when something bad happens. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope. That's what the Bible says. Here's what your pastor says. We should not do anything as those who have no hope. Not just grieving. There's nothing we should do in a way that indicates we are without hope if we are in Jesus Christ. Think of all the blessings revealed to us in God's word. Listen, church, that are promised to you. Never doubt the promises of God. What God says, he will do. What he has promised, he will fulfill. So we do not do anything as those who have no hope. And listen, I know life is difficult. My life is difficult at times. I know that. Some people forget that I'm a human being. Life is difficult sometimes. But think of all the blessings that God has promised for you that cannot be taken away by anything this world throws at you. The book of Revelation should remind you of all the blessings of God that are promised in Jesus. So this week and thereafter, count your many blessings. And don't live as one who is without hope. As we conclude, I think it's just a wonderful time for all of us to think about the greatness of God that we see in the book of Revelation, the one who is worthy of worship, the one who has kept his promises, the one who will soon make all things new. He is so great, and we're going to sing of that greatness in just a moment. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, count all the blessings that come with the greatness of God. Just soak in the goodness of the waters of life found in Jesus Christ. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're in your sin still and you've never turned from your sin and turned to Jesus, listen, the Bible says there are very real, serious, devastating consequences for your sin in a real place called the lake of fire, where God will judge for all eternity your sin in a very horrible, terrible way that is real and devastating. The Bible says that because God is so holy. And in our sin, we reject God's rightful rule and reign in our life, and we do our own thing. And we say, you're not going to be my king. You're not going to be my father. I'm going to do what I want to do. The Bible says all of us have done that and brought death and sin into our lives. But the Bible says God sent his own son, Jesus, to give his life so that we could receive new life and have our sin washed away in the blood of Jesus and be clothed with the righteousness that he offers his children. You can turn from your sin and you can turn to Jesus and be saved from your sin. The Bible says Jesus didn't just die. He rose again to new life, and he really lives again, and he really lives with God in heaven, and he's really coming back as the book of Revelation described. And when he comes back, he will judge sin forever, eliminate sin altogether, eliminate sinners altogether, and those who call upon his name on this earth will receive all the rewards that he promised, including new life forevermore. So here's what I want to say to you. If you do not have Jesus, I'm going to say to you what Revelation 22 says. It says, to all who hear, say, come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and never turn back. Come to the waters of life. Come to receive all the promises that are promised to you, inherited for you to receive in the new heaven and new earth. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of response. As we do, I'll be standing right down here. If anyone has a decision they need to make, if you want to receive prayer, if you need to make any sort of spiritual decision, please come forward even as we sing. And just share with me. I'd like for you to pray with me. Or I'd like to give my life to Jesus. Or I'd like to recommit myself to the Lord. Whatever it might be, any decision. Maybe you just want to spend some time praying down here. You're welcome to do that. We invite you to do that as well. Even where you stand as we sing, just let the Lord work in your heart and your life and respond to the greatness of God. Respond to all that you've learned in the book of Revelation, or maybe you're new, just what you've learned today. Listen as the Spirit speaks to our church today. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing.